through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Well, we know it wasn't an accident. It's all part of God's plan. I will never forget the moment someone said this to my mom, my sister, and I, less than a month after my dad had been killed in a car accident. God planned this? I saw pictures of the accident, the car afterwards. I saw the few things that were salvaged from the car. And we never saw his body again because he had been burned beyond recognition. What God planned this? Despite years of studying theology that made me sure that that was not what I believed, to hear someone say those words made me feel as though I had had the wind knocked out of me. Of all the unhelpful things that people said in those days and weeks, things I'm sure you have heard too when you face tragedy, that one hurt the most. Unfortunately, I have learned that I was not alone in my experience. It's a sentiment that is offered in tragic moments to hurting people far too often. And very often, a verse from our reading from Romans is either quoted or at the heart of the idea that is offered. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So often this verse is used to suggest that God causes or plans terrible, tragic things in order to bring about some greater good. That somehow everything that happens is part of God's grand master plan and God is just pulling all the strings to make it all happen. The problem with this is that if that is so, we're supposed not to be sad nor not grieve because God is just doing this for something better, right? But this is the total opposite of what we see throughout Scripture. In the Psalms and other parts of the Old Testament, we hear the laments and groans of people suffering and struggling. They have no problem calling out to God with their pain, asking God to relieve them. In the Gospels, we see Jesus weep when a friend dies and be overcome with compassion when he sees suffering. And then even in this passage, we are told that when we face times where we have lost even our words, even words to pray, that the Spirit joins us by praying with sighs too deep for words. Over and over, we see God's heart turn towards those who are hurting and suffering, a God whose compassion and mercy is as abundant as love. Does that mean that God isn't present at all when we suffer? Certainly not. But to read this verse as if God causes suffering is a misreading of it. God works all things together for good. If all things were naturally inherently good, then there would be no work for God to do. But instead, God is constantly working in our broken world to bring the kingdom, to bring the world as it was created to be. God is constantly working to redeem all that is happening in our world that has far too much pain. Sometimes that work of God is something that we can see, and sometimes it's things we don't see now or even in this life. Sometimes we have to take in faith that someday all will be redeemed, all will be healed. Even those things we cannot imagine. And here's the thing I think we must hold on to as people of faith. We can embrace, we can even be grateful for the good God is bringing. And at the same time, we still grieve and ache for the loss and struggle we face now. Another thing I remember being told the day after my dad died, and frequently thereafter, was this will make you a better priest. 7 years later, I know that statement is true. But then and now, I would still trade that just to have my dad back. But I can't. And so at the same time, I'm grateful for how it has changed me, for what I've learned, for who I've become. Both are true. At the same time, I would trade it all to have my dad alive and whole, and yet I am grateful for the good that has come. Of course, there's tension there. Perhaps those things seem mutually exclusive, but I've come to believe that they're not. In sadness, there can be joy. In tragedy, there can be beauty. And I believe that life has to be lived somewhere in that depth of that tension, in that place of the truth we sometimes can't put together completely. The reality is that I know that this passage is used to try to comfort people in times of pain, but it fails often because it tries to escape that tension. It tries to turn deep suffering into easy joy, senseless tragedy into made-up beauty. But the redemption, the healing, the good God is working in our world is never that simple. The truth is, I think we offer platitudes and cliches when people are suffering because we are uncomfortable with the tension. We are afraid of the nearness of their suffering. We can't imagine their pain, and we fear something like it happening to us too. We can't enter the suffering, the darkness that they are experiencing with them, because it makes us aware of how powerless we are to actually fix their pain. I believe we live too much of our lives in fear of what could happen, the tragedies that could befall us, the things that we are sure we could never survive. But the beauty of this passage is that it gives us an alternative to living strangled by that fear. It gives us the hope we need to live in this world, accompanying others in the darkness and living fully in the present rather than fearing what could come. The greatest tragedy when we turn to cliches or ideas like suffering being part of God's plan is that if we miss a chance to share, or even more, to be for someone else the great hope that we have, a hope that is contained in this very passage. In fact, this is the passage that is often read at funerals, not to assure someone that a loved one's death is part of God's plan, but to assure them that even this greatest change of death cannot separate us from God. There is maybe no greater passage than this to turn to in times of pain, of doubt, of darkness, of suffering. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For me, the greatest struggle with what I was told was that I could not hold together that God caused my dad's death and that God loved my dad. That God loved my mom, my sister, and I. I could not hold together that God would cause such pain and that God is love. That's not to say that I can't live with tension or that I have no questions. I don't know why tragedy happens, why we suffer. There is evil and violence in our world that is often senseless and meaningless. And I often wonder why God doesn't stop it. But I would rather live with those questions than wonder if God loves us. I would rather live in this tension, and I believe that throughout the story of the people of God, that this is the tension that faithful people have sat in. And I believe that we sit in that place with God. For me, part of the reason I reacted so strongly against the idea that God caused my dad's accident was that I had never in my life felt God so near. I've never in my life felt so surrounded by love as I was in the weeks and months afterward. I struggled with the numbness, the shock, with everything that grief brings, but I never struggled with knowing that I was deeply, deeply loved. And I felt that love most strongly from the people who surrounded me, who walked with me in the darkness. They did not try to make what happened easier or take away the pain. They simply were the love and light that showed me the true love and light of this world. In those dark times, I found the deepest connections. In those kinds of times, I have seen God most present in the love that surrounded me and the hands that carry me. In numbing and isolating darkness and death, they were the life and light that gave me hope. And while being the one who chooses to enter the darkness to accompany another is profoundly difficult, also one of the most amazing human experiences. To peel away our layers of protection and simply be in the presence of all the fragility of death and pain also opens us to something that is good and beautiful. It opens our hearts to the profound gift that life is and opens our eyes to see the light that has come among us and the light that is within us. In the darkness, the light shines most brightly, for the darkness is most often where God is being born in our world. More than anything in this world, I am convinced that we as followers of Christ are called to be that love and light in this world. We are able to do so because of the incredible hope we have. Whatever we fear, whatever we face, God will be with us. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. In a world that is quick to say who is not worthy nor able to receive to the love of God, this is an incredible message we have to offer, and there are so many in our world longing to hear it. And most often, my friends, we ourselves are the best way to make this message known. It is rarely our words or trying to fix or understand someone's pain that will make it better, but our own presence, our love, our ability to walk into the darkness and doubt with them is what may remind them that whatever has happened has not separated them from the love of God. For I am convinced that neither death, nor diagnosis, nor divorce, no life nor lack of it, no disease or accident, no spirit or belief, no church or faith, no foreseen or unseen, no president or prime minister, no political power or pundit, no law or legislation, no terrorist or attack, nothing we can fear in the future, nothing that can come to happen, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let us all walk bravely into our world today, whatever darkness we face. You will be light to me, and I will be light to you, and together we will all see the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome us. Amen.